Attention hobbyists, sports fans, and collectors nationwide and abroad. It's time to get hype.
Come on.
About the hobby we are all a part of. Live from the Mojo Break Studios, it's Dan and Doug.
Come on!
So, get hyped. Be hyped. This is The Hype.
What is going down, everyone? It's time for MojoBreak.com, The Hype, episode 114. We got a topic-heavy show. We're going to talk about Luka Doncic. His prices keep climbing. We're going to talk a little Astros baseball. We're going to talk Hall of Fame. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. And remember, the site's MojoBreak.com for your breaking needs. We got a lot of stuff. We're heading into a crazy time in the hobby with a bunch of releases. But for today, we've got Playbook Football, so chasing those big rookie patch autos, shields, multiplayer autos, as well as Flawless Baseball, which is loaded with bat knobs, bat plates, cut autographs, rookie RPAs, and stuff like that. So we got random numbers of that today. We got pick your team style. And I also want to tell you guys, coming up, November 27th, the day before Thanksgiving, Topps Transcendent releases, which is that $30,000 product that Topps makes. And it comes out every year. 100 cases made this year. And we got a no skunk break on the website for $139.99. So everybody gets guaranteed an item. And if you get really lucky, maybe you'll get that crazy Babe Ruth autographed bat knob booklet. So,
well, we are home of the Babe Ruth cuts.
We are. We pulled it last year.
That's what we do. Would you say that you're going to guarantee it?
No.
No, no. Okay, well, I tried.
Maybe.
I tried.
Maybe I could take it.
I thought you were the Babe Ruth whisperer.
I am. Maybe I could take an insurance plan out. I'll make that guarantee, and then I'll take an insurance plan out.
Okay.
Kind of like the mattress guy with the Astros, you know, where he...
The mattress guy.
Where he offered a bunch of mattresses, refunds, if the Astros didn't win the World Series. So then he hedged his bet by putting like $10 million on the Astros.
Yeah.
So that was fun. But anyways, Dan just got back from Canada. Went to the Expo.
Woo!
The Sports Card Expo up in Canada.
Ain't nothing like it.
What was it like, man? Walk us through it, dude. I know you're only there for like a day or two, but what was it like?
Well, you guys basically brought me out there because I know hockey. And, you know, needed to talk some hockey with everybody. The most young guns and hockey cards I've ever seen.
What's a young gun, Dan?
A young gun?
Isn't it's that Western movie?
Yeah, well, they didn't make multiple young guns, right?
There might have been only one, yeah.
No, I think they made multiple.
Oh, okay.
Are we talking the same movie?
Yeah.
With Emilio Estevez and
Blaze of Glory,
Kiefer Sutherland, yeah, and Lou Diamond Phillips. Yeah, yes. they made multiple young guns.
So we're not talking about that. We're talking about hockey rookie cards, though.
It's basically the first Bowman equivalent of hockey cards.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
You got it?
I hear you. I have ears.
And it's a great show. It's about, I don't know, maybe a quarter of the size, maybe 1/6 of the size of the National, but probably one of the best shows I've ever been to, because when we do the National, we don't get an opportunity to leave our booth and go look around. Here, that's all I did. I really was just looking around, talking to different dealers. There's a fair amount of wax, and that was also cool. Independent dealers brought their wax with them, so they were selling wax. So every booth pretty much had a little bit of wax, unlike the National, where you only have like, you know, 5 to 6 different vendors that are selling all of it. And Upper Deck was there. They were doing some signings. Matt Sundin was probably the biggest draw for autos.
Mm-hmm.
Tons of Blue Jays cards. If you're a Blue Jays collector.
Makes sense.
I know. Tons of Raptors cards. You wouldn't believe it, right? You would think they just got done winning the finals or something.
Never would have guessed. Unbelievable.
But great show. And, thanks to to William and Carvin, Daryl, like showing me around, and yeah, it was a great time.
What was your biggest takeaway from the show?
Biggest takeaway was the difference in the dealer culture would be the first thing that I would jump onto. With the National, you get a lot of dealers who set up, and we've talked about it before, where they're really just there to show off their collection, really no intention of selling any of the stuff, or if they're going to sell it, it has to be at like above market.
Gotcha.
Because they really don't want to sell it, but if somebody's going to offer them an insane amount, they're going to take it. Here was completely different. It was what I have in my case, that's the marked price, and I'm willing to move on it, make deals, and plus being like U.S., it's about a 25% difference in the currency exchange. So I'd look at the price, and I'm basically getting a 25% discount off the top. Yeah, and I was coming up. A lot of baseball. You wouldn't think. I would say, obviously, hockey. Hockey was number one. Then you would have baseball, then basketball, then soccer, then UFC, then football.
You can't forget CFL, though. I heard there were CFL cards in the house.
There was no. I didn't see any CFL.
Oh,
they had the CFL game going on at the airport.
The Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
And the Winnipeg Footballers.
Is that their name?
I don't know.
Ron in the chat said, did you come back saying A at the end of a lot of sentences?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You gotta be there more than 2 days.
That's so cliche. Is there any other cliches about Canada other than A and a boot and back bacon?
But, okay, first off, nobody said anything about back bacon, but since you're talking about meat, let's talk about meat. They had a table. Straight table, about, you know, double the size. Yeah, just vendor table, right? But they didn't have cards. They had pepperoni sticks and just salami and just it was a meat table.
Was there a line for that?
There was no line. And I went up, I got three pepperoni sticks, and
did you eat them at the same time?
I didn't eat all three of them at the same time, but I did walk around and enjoyed a pepperoni stick while flipping through some cards.
Nice.
That sounds like a hell of a time.
Oh, it was great. Then you got
But then you can get grease on the cards, right? I mean, you got that grease.
I was looking.
You weren't opening packs.
I wasn't opening up packs.
Yeah, because that could get quite messy.
There was, I saw one booth. They were live streaming. They were breaking.
Poutine. Ron says poutine.
Poutine.
Tell us about poutine.
Oh, poutine. Okay, so basically poutine is, so if you have it and you're a fan of French fries, don't have it because you'll never go back to regular fries. So it's like a bowl with fries, with gravy and cheese curds, and there ain't nothing better than it. And I'm not a big like French fry fan, but I don't think I can have French fry regular anymore. After having poutine fries.
It was just, you know, like
And according to Doug, right before we did this, he doesn't even like gravy, so.
Not a big fan of gravy.
Yeah.
I think
they'd basically to tell you to get out of Canada then if you don't like gravy.
I think sometimes you mask good food by throwing gravy on it. Like, if I wanted to taste, it's like if I was eating French fries and I just dumped all the ketchup in one bottle on French fries and all I would taste was ketchup.
Yeah, nah.
No.
Gravy, I mean,
KFC gravy with a straw sometimes can be good, but
with
a straw,
like you drink it.
Yeah,
yeah. Nah, I don't know about that.
No, whoa,
I've never done that.
That
is
kind of backtracking there. It kind of sounds like you do that. Could I get a large gravy? And they're all, you want potatoes with that? You're all, nah, just
straw.
Just if you can get me like a spork, I'm gonna go for it.
Shovel it in my mouth. Just like a big gulp. No, it was actually from Jim Gaffigan bit, so it reminded me of that.
But yeah, it was. I haven't been to a ton of shows. I've been to some smaller shows. I've been to the TriStar show. This show runs circles around the Cow Palace TriStar show. I mean, circles. Probably one of the best shows I've ever been to.
That's awesome. It's good to hear. I'll have to make the trip next time. I have to get my passport.
There's another one in spring. I'd highly recommend it. And I would recommend it if you're looking for deals on non-hockey cards. If you're looking for baseball, if you're looking for basketball, if you're looking for UFC, if you're looking for wrestling, then maybe football. Football is, I keep on doing that because football was almost non-existent.
You think there would be a lot of Buffalo Bills cards out there?
There,
a lot of Jim Kelly.
There was very, I mean, there was like a couple, like you'd see a couple Mahomes rookies, like Optic rookie. And that was pretty much it.
Nice. Well, we're going to move on to Luka, who is, man, I mean, the week that Luka's having has totally just made his cards just go crazy. We're going to talk about those prices, break down his value, see what we see compared to the new rookies coming out this year. But this kind of says it right here. I mean, you guys have obviously all probably heard this on ESPN. He is the second youngest with a 40-point triple-double in NBA history, only behind LeBron. And if you look at the slide on the screen, he's got some company of LeBron, Luka, Magic, Isaiah, and Oscar Robertson. I mean, that's a pretty star-studded cast who have gotten 40-point triple-doubles as young players. So, I mean, his cards are just insane. And we would have never been able to predict this. We were telling you guys last year that the silvers at $500, $600 should be a solid sell. I mean, now those things are over 1,000. I mean, C-Rad, what are you seeing with this guy, man? I mean, what is it?
They call it magic with Luka Doncic. He does things that kids at his age shouldn't be doing with the basketball. So, yeah, special player.
What's the ceiling for this guy?
I'm going to stick to what I was saying last year, too. I think he's just going to keep improving as the years go, kind of like exactly like Giannis type, where Giannis improves every year. And I think his prices are just going to keep going up, too.
Now, you know when people say LeBron and Zion, and they say they're generational players, is Luka a generational player?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, tell me
dude.
Why.
He just
said some of the reasons, but
he just got
give
here.
Me some more reasons.
He just got here.
He just...
Is his personality?
Nah, I don't know nothing about his personality.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, we never would have been able to predict this, and now he's in the same conversation with LeBron, which LeBron's top's chromes are on fire, too. So these two gentlemen right now are just kind of running basketball. I feel like Zion's on the back burner for right now because he hasn't been playing, you know, but we predicted that it's going to be Zion mania, but it's still Luka mania right now. And some of the prices, we have some completed auctions here, just blow your mind. So, first off, I didn't even know what the hell this was. So, I guess there's an Optic Green Dragon Mojo, which set is that in? Is that in Fast Break?
It's
an Optic Choice. Okay. So, it's not numbered, and it sold raw for just under $6,000 for a base Luka card.
Yeah, look who sold it.
Well, though. I mean, look who sold it. Yeah, you got to consider that. That's a whole other segment.
Who knows? That card could be $6,000. That card could be $600. You don't know.
Right. You don't know.
You don't know. That card get paid for? You don't know.
We don't know. But, I mean, that's insane. And then I got some other auctions that a NTRPA 9.5, and I'll repeat this, sold for $38,000. Recently, November 18th, an RPA. It's a sick patch. Don't get me wrong. There's 99 of them. I mean, the pop report on the 9.5. There's probably not a lot of them yet, but $38,000 for an RPA.
I can't agree with that.
Well, tell us why.
I think it's too much.
It's
entirely too much. I mean, granted, we all know getting 9.5 grades on RPAs really really difficult. But $38,000. I mean, where?
But mentioned.
But I get that. But I think at that price, he has to win in his career multiple MVPs and multiple championships. And he is a year and what, 20 games, 15 games into his career?
Yeah.
Whew. It's a bold. I mean, would you pay $38,000 for that card?
At my income level right now, no. I know some guys have a lot of stupid
money. What would your income level have to be to feel pretty good about that investment?
I'd have to be making like $2 million a year.
$2 million a year.
Yeah.
All right.
Then I'd be okay with it. But
so hopefully the owner of that card is in that tax bracket.
Yeah, I would hope so. No, he makes $60,000 a year.
Yeah, he just
took out a credit card on
the I got $22,000 to live on for the rest of the year.
The PayPal 60 days.
Think about that. Think about people who may have, you know, credit cards that have $100,000 limit, $150,000 limit. How about that for an investment? You're like, I'm going to buy that for $38,000. I'm going to hold on to it and see what it happens in 2 months or a month and sell it.
And then pay off your credit
card. And then pay off your credit card.
Well, I mean, that's pretty volatile. I mean, I'm sure people have that thought.
I know, but like, do you think that goes down?
Do you think?
I mean, I don't know to the extent of this card, but $5,000, $10,000 cards.
$500, $1,000 cards.
Do you think that this is something that happens on the norm in this industry?
It could, especially if you're dealing with a credit card that has a lot of points on it. Maybe people justify that they're getting, you know, free flight to Hawaii and they can buy this card, flip it in 2 months, and, you know, just hope for the best.
Because if you open up a credit line, credit card, and sometimes they'll have like a 6 months no interest. I don't know. Your limit would have to be enough to afford that card. But at that point, you would have 6 months to wait to see what happens. Right. Now, ballsy move because he snaps his leg in half. I don't think you're going to be able to get $38,000 out of it.
Well, exactly. And I think people are justifying this because if you look at LeBron's 0304 exquisite RPAs, I mean, you're talking well over $100,000.
We cannot compare LeBron to Luka right now.
But you ESPN just flashed his name next to LeBron. I think that's what people remember. We're in a society.
But why does everybody latch on? Why didn't people go, maybe he's the next Magic Johnson? He was also on that list, too.
He was.
But no, LeBron's sexier. He's more of like what we call a generational player.
Well,
Magic Johnson was also a generational player as well.
You can't, well, because he didn't have an RPA. I mean, LeBron has the highest selling basketball RPA, so we can only compare it to him. Because Magic Johnson, they didn't have RPAs in the 70s. They didn't have RPAs in the 80s. So they didn't have, it just didn't happen. So that's the only thing that in this modern day hobby that you can compare it to is the king. Just like with baseball, you can only really kind of compare guys to Trout because we didn't have Willie Mays superfractors or Barry Bonds superfractors or Hank.
Okay, and I get what you're saying because you're doing more of a comparison in the hobby. I'm doing a comparison in real life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know how we can compare Luka to LeBron this early in his career. I don't know how we can compare. I mean, what if he would have scored 35 points and not 40 and got that triple double? Well, he wouldn't be on that same list.
Right. He wouldn't.
There'd probably be a handful of other guys.
Oh, believe me. And this happened November 18th. What's today's day? Today is the 20th. So that this guy had like the most impeccable timing because the game happened on Monday where he dropped 40.
No, and I read
so
that
this,
the ESPN headline was literally Luka LeBron. Like in the headline. It was like nobody's done this since LeBron. Luka is the next LeBron.
Yeah, I mean, and it wasn't by Shilstein or pre-war cut-up cards.
Shilstein.
It wasn't from either of their accounts. This was just a guy.
Shilstein.
It looks like it, at least.
What'd you call a pre-war cut-up cards?
Yeah. Just came up with that on my own right now. It was on the fly. But $38,000, Luka RPA, yes. Base Tesla, Ron says in the chat. It's the equivalent of a Tesla.
Tessie?
So, and you can compare it to Trae Young, who has an RPA of number to 5 that only sold for $19,000. So you could have gotten two Trae Youngs to
that's
5.
I think that's a 9, though, right?
It's a 9, yeah, and it's PSA. But I couldn't find anything close to – this was the closest Trae Young.
But the RPAs are tough because you kind of want the number to 99.
It's changed a little bit. But, yes, I think for the most part, collectors want the 99 one. The 99 will definitely, but the number to 5 should be in its own category. What do you think, C-Rad? Like a number to 99 compared to like a 5 or a 10, you know, or a 25?
Yes, yeah, definitely in its own category. I've always looked at it like 99s is, I mean, the low number parallels, they're nice. If you can, if obviously if you can have them, they're going to always be worth something. But there's something just about the 99 that, as a basketball collector, you just,
it's iconic.
Yeah.
I got a question for you then, for both of you guys. So you got $40,000 burning a hole in your pocket. You can get two of these exact cards, mm-hmm. Trae Young, or you can get one Luka.
I'm buying the one Luka.
You're buying the one Luka?
I'm getting the one Luka too.
Oh, dude, you guys are just coming in on a Wednesday, hitting the hippie lettuce. I like it. All right.
I haven't changed my stance on Luka since last year. Like,
I'm not a huge Trae
fan. But I still feel like he has a higher ceiling.
Two of them. Two.
I mean, Trae Young's going to be a great player, but I don't think he has a chance of being a generational player like Luka does. What do you guys think in the chat? Two Trae Youngs or one Luka? What do you think? Where would you go? If money wasn't an object.
Everybody in the chat knows what to say. They know.
Here we go arguing again. No, that's all we do on this
show.
No,
I mean the you know, people who are in here, they're educated. They're educated in this industry. They're educated in this hobby. They know what to choose.
Yeah, you could buy two Chevys or one Beamer.
Cars, man, as soon as you buy that car, though, you drive it off the lot, you already know what time it is.
VG says Trae Young is the next Steph Curry, Luka's the next GOAT.
If Trae is the next Steph Curry, you absolutely take two Trae Youngs over one Luka. I mean, that's if, like, you know, you're trying to invest and, you know, make some money.
Yo, these prices are really blowing my mind, though.
It's insane.
The year after the Warriors won their first championship and Curry won his first MVP, his RPA was still only at $5,000. Still, right after the first championship. So these prices are, like, insane for them not winning.
And that, it's supply and demand, I think, is what it is.
And, Jack, that's a good point. So you get two trays, you sell one, and you basically end up with a free Trae Young. Or your $40,000 Luka, you know.
Yeah.
If he ends up being like an average player, we don't know because he's super young, you can use it as a coaster.
$38,000
coaster. Or, you know, say your table's a little wobbly, you know.
Put it underneath.
Put it underneath.
Well, and yeah, you guys were talking about in the chat. I wanted to bring that up too. So the Luka Logo Man auto was pulled. It was pulled over the weekend. And have you heard the story yet about how much he was offered?
Was he offered more than six figures?
He was offered $150,000. Allegedly. I don't have proof of this, but I've heard it from multiple sources.
And he took it and ran.
No, he turned it down.
That guy.
He turned down $150,000.
Also seems to be hitting the tree.
How many of you guys would, I mean, take the 150 grand? That seems like a silly question, right? See, right, would you turn down $150,000? When in your life are you going to be able to sell a $150,000 card?
So we were talking about this the night that the card was hit. We were actually talking about this in the chat room for a good while. And my answer was...
Oh, C-Rad.
My answer was that if I absolutely needed the money, I would sell it. But if I'm really... You know, like, I'm a long-term basketball collector, and I believe in his potential, and I don't need the money right away, I can see myself holding it. But, yeah, it'd be tough to turn down $150,000.
Dude, what if he becomes, like, the next Derrick Rose?
Yeah, I mean, it's a possibility.
Like, Derrick Rose was hot.
Yeah.
He was hot. Won an MVP.
He was flashy. He had all the intangibles.
What if that happens? You're gonna sit there and go, what can you get a Derrick Rose RPA now for out of, like, exquisite? Yeah. It's probably not $100,000.
No, probably not. But I mean, also what people fail to realize is we talk about these card values and we see stuff sell on eBay and we hear about Logo Man selling. Guys, there's not a lot of people that have $150,000 to give you. That's the issue. Luka may win like five MVPs and he may win, you know, four finals and he may climb up the ranks and the leaders. You got to find somebody that has $150,000 to give you. It's not like you can just go, like, just turn it into a machine and it spits out 150. It doesn't work that
way. Like Coinstar?
Right. Yeah, you can't take that.
I bring my Luka into a grocery store and put it into the Coinstar and get like a voucher for $150,000. You can't do that.
No.
That's my new invention.
And you know what? And that's what I learned when we were kind of starting to invest ourselves in like $5,000-$7,000 cards. Even at that price point, you got to find the right buyer. And that's hard sometimes. It's hard to find people that have $1,000 to spend on a card. The masses like us, we're buying into breaks, we're buying packs, we're buying boxes and stuff. We're not spending, you know, $5,000 or $6,000 on cards, or let alone $150K. Now, granted, there's a bunch of rich people in this industry that are high end collectors that buy a lot of Logomans. But if that guy doesn't like Trey, he ain't, or Luca, he ain't buying that card. You know, these guys that are gonna eventually own it, they're gonna have to be a fan of that guy. That's why you see the Kobe's sell. That's why you see, you know, the Curry's sell, because there's guys that are lifelong fans of that guy. So that's my thing. Is it's not like, you know, you can just automatically sell your card the next day for X amount of dollars.
Yeah, I think you're downplaying the fact that it's hard to find that buyer. That the amount of people who are in this industry, in this hobby, and the amount of people who have that much money to spend on one card, small percentage.
Right. Right.
Small percentage. And then they have to really, really, really want that card. So, I mean, that's why you go on eBay and you find ridiculous cards up there at Buy It Now or Best Offer.
And you'll
see them up there for 2, 3, 4 years.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of these guys.
And that basically is that card and that seller just waiting for that buyer to come through and be like, ah, I want it. Buy it now.
Well, I know the Marvin Bagley sold a little bit north of 10K, right? So that could be the floor for this Luka card, right? I mean, or even lower than that. I mean, Luka has a couple bad seasons, and now that $150,000 that you got offered is now you're going to be lucky to get 10-15K for it. So that's the risk I don't like taking. I mentioned it in the chat on Monday that I'm the deal or no deal guy, that if I'm playing deal or no deal and I've got a $100,000 briefcase and a $5 briefcase left, and they offer me like, you know, $200K, or I could get $5. I'm taking $200K. I'm not going to risk it and chance it for the million. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to take the guaranteed $200K. But that's how I play ball. I like to play a little more on the safe side.
Well, again, that also has to do with whatever type of net worth you're working with before you go in there.
That's true. You bring my point back up.
Yeah. I mean, if your net worth is, you know, $50 million, and you can either get $1 million or $5, it's all relative. Like, I sure in hell don't want the $5.
Well, then you're playing for fun at that point. You just want to win, right? You don't want to, like, bank that money.
So. I don't know. I'm not in that tax bracket. Tell me.
Yeah, I don't know either. Not in that tax bracket either. One day, maybe. But yeah, and then the Luka Silvers have climbed all the way up to around $1,200. We thought they were absurdly high at $500 or $600. So we'll throw ourselves under the bus on there. That's the one we got wrong. So it was a perfect storm for Luka, the way he's playing, the way Zion's not playing. Do you think let's just like change the scenario, and this is for both you guys before we move on to the next segment, which will be a great segue into the next segment, is if Zion's playing, doesn't get hurt, comes out, scores 25 points a game, do you think Luka's prices are this high?
My answer is yes, because the way he's playing, not only he's improving on his rookie season, his team is winning, he's carrying them, he's doing everything that they need. He's not one of these rookies that kind of regress a little bit their second year.
Yeah.
So I feel like his prices would still be growing at the same time. If Zion came out and started balling like he normally does, then it'd be like just two hot guys right now in the league.
We should see. I mean, what is the main difference between the Mavericks this year and the Mavericks last year? They got a healthy Kristaps.
Yeah, he wasn't really playing much for them last
year. I don't think he played at all last year.
Yeah.
A lot of what Luka is doing has to do with Kristaps playing and playing well with him. So we sit there and talk about Luka, and at one point back in the day, we go way, way, way far back to Kristaps' rookie year, which right. was 15-16.
Yep.
15-16. He was the hottest thing. Where are his cards? He has a lot to do with the success of the Mavericks.
Yes, I feel like the games that I've seen, I've seen games of him struggling and Luka's carrying him too.
But just having that.
The Mavericks are 8-5.
But so just having that presence on the court with him.
He helps the team out a lot, no doubt.
So we should see a little spike in Kristaps' cards.
Kristaps ain't getting triple doubles nightly. You know?
And you know, to prove our point that we said last year too, is we haven't seen this from a European player.
Yeah.
I don't want to say white. I mean, people call him white, but European player. I mean, we had Dirk's cards. It kind of did well. It took a while for Dirk's cards to do well. So all the statistics
plus his age, dude.
And his age.
Do you think go to a Mavericks home game? You think there's more Dirk jerseys or Luka jerseys?
Ooh. Right now?
Right
probably
now.
50-50. It's probably 50-50.
50-50, yeah.
Cuz
they're playing
the
Dubs tonight, by the way.
Dirk is He is not on the team, but still probably has to be considered the face of the franchise, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So a little, since we're kind of talking about Prizm Silvers, I wanted to talk about Prizm, which is coming out very soon in a couple weeks. And we'll be getting breaks up soon on Prizm. Pick your team style. I have no idea how to price some teams out. We'll figure it out, though. So you may want to keep an eye on that because you may get a good deal early.
I think the Pelicans are going to be somewhere around $100,000 a case.
Yeah, I think so. Something like that. I mean, it's a good deal.
I don't know. I think it's a good deal. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, Zion's out of the gate. Silver. I don't know. Mill. Cool. Mill. Mill raw.
With that being said, we're showing some images of what Zion's rookie card will look like. Not necessarily a Prizm, because this is the mock. Not necessarily the silver, because it's just a mock-up of the design. But let's get some predictions. We know that the production levels on Prizm this year are probably going to be double from last year, which is insane.
I don't know about double, but it'll be
up.
It'll be more than last year, and that's another thing. We're sitting there talking about Luka. Go to the Pop Report and see how many Luka Silvers have been graded.
And that's why it's insane that they're going for that.
And tell me you feel good about that investment.
Right,
It's a tough thing to feel good about at that price point. At $1,200, it's tough.
It is a tough thing to think.
Now, I think you're right. I think they are going to – I don't think it's going to double, but I think you're going to see 10 to 15% increase in Prizm.
So you're thinking – because I think we calculated the Pop Report on Luka was about 3,600, so we're probably going to be close to 5,000.
Now, what if they do this? What if they increase the print run but lower the print run of silvers and make silvers harder to hit?
Might be a good thing. It might leave, but then people are just going to get murdered on boxes, right? Mm-hmm. People are going to get straight murdered.
Uh-huh.
Straight murked. I mean, the good thing for Pelicans people in breaks is that you have Nikhil Alexander and you have Jackson Hayes still to hit. You know, unlike last year when you were chasing, you know, Luka, you didn't – I mean, I guess you had Jalen Brunson, but you didn't have, you know, as
Brunson
many –
Brunson was not –
That still is going to be a tough pill to swallow. You buy the Pelicans for $1,500 and you get a Nikhil Alexander silver. Yeah.
Just put it up there, $1,500 by
$1,500. I mean, a good ball player, but probably going to be like a $12 to $15 silver.
Right. Could be.
Now, don't lose sight of, like, don't just sit there and look at Prizm and go, Zion, and Zion only. Zion's the only player that exists. There's a good rookie class. There's going to be a lot of value to be had in a lot of the silvers that nobody is really talking about
right now.
So don't get – I mean, if you get to a random and you don't get the Pelicans, don't get super bummed, because you can actually hit some really, really good value guys.
Well, and I'm looking at – and I probably shouldn't say this, but because everybody's going to buy these teams up now, but I'm looking at like the Celtics, right? Because the Celtics are playing good ball right now, and they've got three rookies that, you know, maybe going deep into the finals, somebody has an injury. You got three rookies. You got these guys playing. You know, you got Carson Edwards and Romeo Langford. You know, value spot there, because people are going to overlook the Celtics in Prizm because they're going to be going after the Grizzlies, the Pelicans, the
watch out for the Hawks. Watch out for the Warriors. I mean, Warriors have two rookies who are starting.
Right.
And they're gonna end up being in the top points per game out of all the rookies, even when Zion comes back. Those two rookies for the Warriors are going to be in the top 15.
Yeah. What? Okay, so let's ask you guys a question. And VGLN already stated his answer in the chat. C-Rad, what are Raw Zion Williams Silver going for? What are they going to come out of the gate at?
Out the gate, at least $1,500.
For a Raw Silver?
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
Oh. I had a whole thing. I was gonna be like, man, I'm gonna say something right now. It's gonna be crazy. And I think Raw, they're gonna come out at $1,000. But obviously, it's not that crazy now.
50. Wow. I'm thinking like 700, to be honest. I mean, I just think there's going to be so much in the market. There's going to be so many people.
At it early, though.
Early. Yeah,
early.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Day one, there is going to be silver Zions at buy it now or best offer for like 10 grand.
Because everybody's going to be competing with each other.
I mean, the first gold that gets pulled,
$100,000.
$100,000or best offer.
Yeah, I don't know how to price it, right? Yeah. That's crazy. So we'll see. Some recent Flawless sales, to put it in perspective. I know it's Flawless Collegiate. It's not Prism, but Zion Patch Auto, $880, which is kind of lower than I thought. The Diamond Auto sold for $1,800. So I personally, I think I'd rather have the Patch Auto, but I know Diamond Flawless is pretty big. Do those prices surprise you, C-Rad, or they're kind of right on par with what you thought?
In terms of I've seen the market going with the collegiate stuff, this doesn't surprise me. It seems like about $1,000 for a Zion is what you're going to be paying if you want his collegiate RPAs from any of these products.
Which is kind of like a minor league auto in a sense. I mean, not comparable to Bowman by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, people are ready for the real deal, but there's still some true Zion collectors. $1,800 for a Zion collegiate auto is pretty dang good, really, without him playing.
And, of course, the lower number you have, right, they're still going to go for crazy amounts right now.
Yep.
$3,000, $4,000.
Definitely. So December 4th, guys. Oh, actually, we got some silvers. So this actually surprised me. So the Prism, and this may go right into what C-Rad was saying. So Prism Collegiate came out a couple weeks ago, and we've been ripping that, and they have silvers like in every pack. We're pulling Zion silvers like crazy. Raw, those have went from 280 to about 350 for a Raw collegiate Zion silver.
Yeah, and I actually think definitely 700 is going to be low. If a collegiate will go for 300, then the regular Prism silver will go for more than 700. I don't know if it's going to go for $1,500, $1,000 with bids.
It's crazy. I mean, those cards, when it's all said and done, that's got to be a $100 card, right? I mean, these people are just going to get slaughtered on this.
Well,
I'm talking about the collegiate. The collegiate Prism.
Oh, yeah. I was like,
the Prism Silver is going to hold its value, but I just don't see the value in the collegiate version for Silver Prism.
Okay. So when do you think when Prism comes out?
Granted, there'll be a lot less of these compared to the other ones.
When Prism basketball comes out, when do you guys think is going to be the best time? And say I want to buy Zion Silver Prisms. When's going to be the best time to buy them?
After the finals.
After the finals? So basically hold off through the whole year, and then once the season ends,
yep,
then buy it up.
But don't get too close to when the season starts.
Don't buy it 3 to 4 weeks after Prism, when the market is going to be essentially flooded and there's going to be so much out there at people starting them at 99 cents. You don't think, I would say 3 to 4 weeks after Prism's released would be a prime time?
No, because I think the season's still going on. There's still people paying attention. I think this is just obviously my opinion, but I think the best time to buy basketball cards is just right after the finals. Unless you're buying like a guy that won the finals MVP, it's not a good time.
What do you think, C-Rad?
I'm on the fence because Zion's, you got to think about Zion returning from injury too.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, so let's say it comes out the 4th.
Uh-huh.
3 weeks is going to be late. The last week of December. If he's not back yet, if he gets back, if he comes back, you've missed the boat. There's gonna be too much buzz. People are gonna be watching all his games. He has one dunk in a game, and they're gonna go up, you know, $100, $200 each one.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. So, but I think the prime time would be, because you got to remember, there's gonna be a lot of people who buy these cases, who are gonna have to sell everything off. because they may have bought it at market and they're going to have to recoup some of that money. And I think that is going to be a majority of the 99 cent auctions that you see. So I think if you can swoop in there about 2 to 3 weeks after the release and before Zion makes his comeback, I think that would be the perfect time to buy him.
I think there's gonna be too many eyeballs on it. I think there'll be too much demand on the supply. I know there's gonna be a lot of supply, but I think there's gonna be too much demand at that time. But that's, we'll see. We'll be able to see. But December 4th is gonna be crazy. So what we talked about, Prism is coming out. Prism Basketball 1920. So that's Silver Zions. Everybody's gonna be talking about and chasing. But we also have Bowman Draft coming out as well. So that is nuts. That is, hopefully they move one of these releases. I mean, Bowman Draft can be moved. Bowman Draft is obviously one of the top Bowman releases of the year, but it kind of performs a little bit poorly. I mean, not in the last couple years, but it performs a little poorly because there's not baseball going on in December. We can push that one back. I know they're not going to wait until after January because
this is always Q4. This is always a December release.
So, I mean, get ready for your head to explode. We're going to have to sleep here. We're going to have to get, I don't know, a case of energy drinks for one day. I don't know, maybe some drugs. I have no idea. I'm talking about, you know, over-the-counter stuff. Whoa. Just to keep me going through the day because this is going to just be insane. There's going to be so many packs I got to open, you know, which I love doing. But just those two releases are two pivotal releases to release on the same day. They both need their own day. They really do. I mean, we're going to be trying to bust through 20 cases of each one, and you know, it's going to be tough trying to compete with each other. What do you think?
Are we going to be able to do it? I mean, can we do it?
We could.
Can we?
24-hour mojo break. Let's go.
Can we bust 40 cases of base heavy product in one day?
We could try.
Could we do 20 cases of Prism and 20 cases of Bowman Draft? Can we do it?
We might be able to. We might have to create a second channel. We may need to create a robot.
Can we do it?
Open up packs.
Be icing down our fingers what we're going to be doing.
Absolutely. So we'll see. December 4th is going to be a big day. I saw this tweet come through. This was kind of interesting. Just a little off topic here, but it's from Le'Veon Bell. It came out today. He said, I done 5 random HGH blood tests in 10 weeks at NFL. I'm not doing another after today. Whatever y'all looking for obviously ain't there, and I'm not about to keep allowing y'all to stick me with these dirty-ass needles. Find the players who really do that HGH BS and get off me.
And then, honestly, he isn't playing well enough to justify.
Well, look at the tweet under there. He's all with the guy below us said, with 508 yards this year, I doubt you're on HGH.
That
burn. Comment of the year.
It's like the first thing I thought of.
But, you know, it's weird that, you know, because he had the contract holdout and he, you know, he kind of stiffed the Steelers and lost that money. And then he gets tested 5 times. They did the same thing with Eric Reed last year. So is it like if you get on the S list of the NFL, they're going to start just going to come by and test you every day. We're going to see what's going on, you know.
Well, if he doesn't do it, then it's going to be considered a dirty test, right?
Yeah.
What you hiding, Lev Bell?
I mean, if anything, he should just sit out the rest of the season. I mean, they're not really going anywhere. He should rest the body like he did last year. But the Astros cheating scandal, putting a little bit of a black eye on baseball. And I was just thinking about the perspective as an Astros fan. I'm not an Astros fan, but for the guys out there that are, I mean, you have to go to places now and say you're an Astros fan. And for the rest of your life, somebody's going to probably bring this up, especially guys that follow baseball consistently. You're going to be at a bar and it's going to be 2025 and you're going to be like, I'm an Astros fan. And they're going to be like, well, you're a cheater fan. So the rest of your life as an Astros fan, you have to deal with this.
So it's like being a Patriot fan.
Kind of. It kind of is. Or being a Barry Bonds fan. Because you're always apologizing for Barry Bonds or listening to people say, oh, he's not a Hall of Famer, blah, blah, blah.
I don't apologize for Barry Bonds. Steroids aside, like, he still had to hit the ball. Like, I mean, and also.
Same thing with this, right?
Yeah, they still had to hit the ball. They still had to perform. The thing that sucks about this team, and I was talking about it earlier, they had no reason to cheat. They were the best team.
Wait, I didn't follow the story. What did they cheat with?
So they basically set up cameras in the outfield that were picking up on the pitches that were called by the catcher. And then they were relaying it back to the hitters in a couple different ways, allegedly. So they had a trash can that they would bang a couple times to let the guy know if it's a fastball or a strike. You know, a fastball or a curveball or whatever.
I don't know how he would hear that, but
or they've also said that they've used rap somehow. This is all allegedly that would vibrate once for a fastball, twice for a curveball while they're at the plate. So,
So what is the difference between somebody being on second base and relaying like some type of sign to the hitter when he's at second? It's the same thing.
Yes, but I think it's hard to – I mean, can you – from second base, are you going to be able to see, like, the fingers from second base?
If I'm a professional baseball player, I probably have pretty damn good eyesight.
But I don't think it can be relayed as fast as how they're doing it now. So they're basically picking up the sign, relaying it right away.
But you can – you see guys, like, basically kind of show, like, where the catcher is setting up to the hitter.
Right.
They have signs.
But this was elaborate, and it's not as elaborate as these guys did it. They had
been going on forever.
They had this guy down here. You could see that he had set up a monitor that was connected to a camera, and he was able to relay right away to the dugout what it was. So they got caught, and Rob Manfred is going to drop the hammer on these guys. But it's a bad look for baseball. I mean, you got to question Alex Bregman at this time. You got to question Altuve. Are they really that good? I don't know. Were they given, how long have they been cheating? How long have they, you know, been given signs? I mean, you know, if you were the Dodgers in that World Series, you got to think, hey, they maybe had a better shot of winning.
Does it say in the rule book you can't do this?
Yeah,
it 100%.
Does. You can't have cameras on.
That was one of those old baseball unwritten rules.
Yeah, you can't cheat at baseball. Which brings me to the Hall of Fame vote. And I think it's fine we're talking about this. We've got the Hall of Fame. So baseball, Rob Manfred is probably pretty stressed out with what's going on, because he's got to somehow discipline the Astros, which I've heard at the very minimum they're going to take away a bunch of draft picks from the Astros. So now he's got to deal with this Hall of Fame ballot vote. And I wanted to talk to you guys about, who do you think is going to be in the Hall of Fame? Obviously, Derek Jeter's getting in, no doubt, hands down. But you look at the rest of this list for the Baseball Hall of Fame for the 2020 ballot, and I mean, there's two guys that should be in there. There's a lot of guys that probably won't get in. I mean, Jason Giambi, not a Hall of Famer, right?
Heath Bell, first ballot.
Heath Bell.
No doubt.
Okay.
Eric Chavez. Brad Penny. We got some good ones here.
Yeah.
We got some good ones. Todd Helton. Todd Helton should get, he should. He should get some votes. He probably won't, but he should.
How about Omar Vizquel for defense? Probably should be. It's probably a Hall of Famer, right?
No. He'll get votes. He'll get.
How many
votes.
Gold gloves did he have? He had like 15, right? No, Omar Vizquel. Let's see. He had a lot.
Sean Figgins. I thought he was still playing. didn't thought he was still in the league. So actually, I got a question. How do you, like,
1, 2, 3?
How do you get
four,
on the?
Five,
how do you get on that
six,
list? Like, what about the players who are not?
11 gold gloves for Vizquel.
I mean, there has to be players who are, because Sean Figgins was not a great ball player, right?
I that is a good question. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know how they formulate this list. I know you could obviously write somebody in. So if you're like a big fan of, you know, JT Snow,
I mean, I'm looking at this and it looks like. Looks like all these players have probably made an all-star game.
Mm-hmm.
I think safe to say.
Right.
I don't see anybody who probably didn't. So maybe that's some of the criteria.
But this year, but what the point I'm trying to get at is that this is the first most blatant year that if Barry Bonds doesn't get in,
well,
there's nobody else on that list besides Derek Jeter that's worthy of getting in more than Barry Bonds.
Unless everybody
or Roger Clemens,
unless you get a lot of players on that list that get like 20%, because there could, if that's the case, then like there'll only be one guy who gets in, because if they split it up equally. Because I could see Jeff Kent getting, you know, 18, 20%.
Right.
I can see, you know, Barry and Roger are probably going to get, you know, somewhere in the 50 to 60%.
You have up to 10 votes, but you don't have to use 10.
You don't have to use them. I see Todd Helton's probably going to get some some votes.
Todd Helton had some great
Andrew
years.
Jones will get some votes. Cliff Lee will get some votes.
Curt Schilling.
Andy Pettit may be a Hall of Famer.
Andy Pettit. What about Curt Schilling?
Curt Schilling, if Schilling, Bonds, or Clemens gets in, I think they all have to get in.
Schilling in the was he Roids too? He's just an a-hole, right? I mean,
I think there was speculation. I mean, he played in the same era.
He had 216 wins.
Can you say without a doubt Curt Schilling didn't take steroids?
I can't say anybody in that era didn't take steroids. I can't be sure that Ken Griffey Jr. didn't take steroids.
Soriano, he'll get some votes. Vizquel will get some votes.
Soriano was a steroid guy though, right? Didn't Soriano get suspended? I'm thinking of somebody else.
Maybe.
But so what's the so
I is it going to be next year where it's A-Rod?
That's going to be the game.
A-Rod's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
And that's bullshit.
He said he was sorry.
Is that what we got to do? We got to say
sorry? if Barry came out and said, "My bad." And well, actually, if Barry went out and said "my bad," people would still hate him. Wouldn't even matter.
But so what's worse? So let's fast forward 25 years from now. Let's say Carlos Correa winds up with 500 home runs, 4 World Series. It's just amazing stats, right? So, but he's caught in this cheating scandal. So
yeah, but that's a whole team. If it basically came out that it was Carlos Correa's idea and he basically put the whole thing in place, then yeah, you could say it was him. But he did benefit from it. But the other guys on the team have to take responsibility.
Let me put it this way. What's worse, cheating with signs or performance-enhancing drugs?
Performing enhancing drugs, probably. Oh. I know that's not the answer you want to hear, but so the cheating and stealing signs and all that's like it's like in the culture of baseball. It's kind of what it's been baseball. It's always trying to find that advantage and figuring out where that line is and being able to cross it just a little bit until you get caught. Steroids is straight. I mean, I think with that era that we're talking about, it's not fair because everybody did it.
Right. Yeah, because you made the reference of that the whole Astros team was involved. Well, you could be almost damn sure that most of the Giants were involved.
No,
in all
they
that
they
too.
Were, but it. But Bobby Estrella wasn't hitting 50 home runs.
Right. Right.
Marvin Bernard wasn't hitting 50 home runs.
But it wasn't illegal at the time. Barry Bonds was doing it.
Yeah, couldn't. You couldn't.
Well, I guess they didn't test for it at the time.
It was still illegal.
Yeah, I mean, McGuire was doing it, so
they didn't
was
have
doing
a, they didn't have a banned substance.
Where
list.
Where's McGuire on that list?
I don't know. I don't know why he's not on that one.
Maybe he didn't get enough. He didn't get enough. I don't think he got enough. Yeah, he is.
I mean, I pulled this from another website. I mean, it could not be legit, but it was just kind of giving a snapshot of players that are up for it this year. But yeah, I know at some point I think you do fall off, but Mark McGuire hasn't been on there enough to be falling off already, right? Because didn't Don Mattingly fell off at a certain point, right? I mean, same thing with Will Clark, all these guys. If you don't get enough voices,
yeah, if
votes,
you don't get, I think it's like 20 or 30%. If you don't get, then you're not on
over a certain period of time, right?
I think you get like 15 years, and then if you don't get in after that 15 years, then the Veterans Committee can put you in. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so yeah, we'll see. I mean,
that's another thing. Jim Rice is a Hall of Famer.
I think that's where it's going to it may it's probably not going to happen this year for Bonds, but I think the mockery of the whole situation is going to be
Jim Thome is a Hall of Famer.
Right. That's well, there's a lot of Rock Raines. Tim Raines is a Hall of Famer.
No, I mean, but to tell me with a being uncertain that Jim Thome did not take steroids. It would be crazy.
Right.
He played in that era. He hit home runs.
Right. Right.
If he didn't, there was definitely players on his teams that were taking steroids that were hitting either in front or behind him that was making his job easier.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's the thing, though. But nobody mentioned, because Bonds is so hated as a person, like,
you know, Ken, you know what this topic, you know what time it is.
You know what time it is. Where's Busta?
It's the Hall of Fame talk again.
It comes around once a year. I get more fired up as a Bonds lover, as a guy that, you know, I had his poster on my wall, you know, growing up. I'm obviously a Giants fan. But, you know, no one questions the fact that, you know, that you have those pictures of Barry on the Pirates, right? And you have those pictures of Barry on the Giants. Obviously, he's a lot bigger. Ken Griffey Jr. took the same route.
I get that. How do you...
No one questioned Ken Griffey Jr.
How important do you think it is to Barry Bonds to get into the Hall of Fame?
Probably he doesn't give a crap at this point. He wasn't first ballot.
I may have to disagree with you on there. I think Barry Bonds, loved Barry, but he definitely got an ego. And at that time when he was playing, he felt like he was the best player ever to play.
Stats don't lie.
Yeah, well, okay. But... if Major League Baseball came to him and said, we're going to let you in, but from 95 to, 2003, whenever he quit, we're going to wipe those stats clean. And we're going to, it's basically, you're going to look like you played from 86 to 95. But you have to agree to that.
Yeah.
I wonder if he would take that deal and go, okay, cool. So I retired in 1995.
Well, so then you erase the home run.
Absolutely.
And whoever.
And that's what Major League Baseball gets. Bonds gets in, but Major League Baseball gets to have Hank Aaron as the home run king.
Well, I don't know about that. Because the whole corruption was after the strike year, dude. Bud Selig buried his head in the sand. During all of this, he just let it happen because he knew that the tickets were flying off the shelf. Everybody was watching Sammy Sosa against Mark McGwire. I don't remember where I was when Bonds broke the record. I don't remember it. But I remember specifically where I was when Mark McGwire broke it. Baseball was none bigger during that time when that race was going on. And everybody knew what was going on. Bud Selig specifically could have stopped it. But it was just, he was taking the money.
People may have assumed what was going on, but nobody ever seen anything like it. So nobody cared. Nobody was like, man, like these guys are cheating. Nobody even talked about that until a reporter saw whatever Andro was in McGwire's locker and they started questioning what
now,
was happening.
Did the Canseco book come out around that time?
No, that came out way after. It was
They had the Mitchell report and all that stuff, right?
That was all like the Canseco book, I want to say, was early 2000s, along with the Mitchell report was a little bit after the Canseco book.
Yeah.
So I mean I think we're talking 95 or 96 is when we were seeing the Sosa McGwire. Was it 98? Baseball needed that. They needed that after the strike. That's why C-League basically turned a blind eye to it, because he's like, baseball may not survive. Baseball may not be baseball without the 98 season.
But it was kind of hypocritical. Now you want to punish these guys and not let them in the Hall of Fame, but you were using them as your puppets to get people back in the stands. I mean, it's just kind of bullshit.
For the true baseball like fan and the historian of baseball, it's not fair to compare all the different eras of baseball.
Right, it isn't.
And it's tough. I don't know. I think all those guys should be in the Hall of Fame. There may need to be something said about this era, there was known steroid use.
Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame too.
I don't think you have to point out specific players that were involved, but there should be a disclaimer saying there was steroid use and we're aware of it. So the older generations.
You open up a can of worms because Hank Aaron was on an amphetamine. So is that, you want to say those guys in that era that, you know, traveled and they had to get through these games and they were taking these greenies that had amphetamine in it? You want to put an asterisk on that? You know what I'm saying? You can't open up that can of worms. Right. So, but it will stop now. I don't think they take amphetamine. I mean, they probably do Red Bull or some kind of energy supplement, but, you know, they were taking a banned substance
back then. We don't know what happens in baseball.
Right.
We have no idea.
We have no idea.
We don't know what's going on.
So before we still got some teams left for Flawless. So you guys that are waiting for Flawless too. We got some good deals on some teams for that. That's a brand new product. But I wanted to point out this card that we were talking about. I think it was on Monday. So obviously Lamar Jackson's on fire. He's in the MVP conversation. The Ravens are killing it. Probably the number one team right now in the NFL with how they've been playing. A prism base, not a silver, a prism base of Lamar Jackson. And there's a bunch of these out there are going for close to $400.
Is that real?
Shoot.
So shill. That's more than Giannis's base. Giannis's base. This is football we're talking about. So my opinion, and this is not fact. I think there's a few guys. It wouldn't be very hard to send in 20 or 30 of these to Shilstein. And Shilstein has no idea what's going on. He lists them. You and these 10 other guys bid these cards up. So you're like, hey, the one on Tuesday, Dan, I want you to win, and we're gonna bid each other up.
Don't put me in the mix, man.
I'm saying a guy named Dan. You know, he's like, hey, you're gonna have him bid it up, and you're gonna have him bid up. So you have 20 cards now that sold for $400, and all you did was exchange hands. You exchange hands with people, but it's all completely covered because it's on a consignor. It's not one guy doing it, right? So now the market's set at $400 on this Lamar Jackson, and these guys are all sitting on thousands of them because there's probably 10,000-20,000 of these cards that are out there. There's no reason it should be $400. But I just want to tell you guys, don't fall into this hype. Don't buy this particular card. I don't see it going up any farther. I think it's probably like a $50 card. It's crazy to me.
The other issue is, you think this group, do you think they bought all the rookies?
They could have. They could have.
Because, I mean, I don't think they were all like, you know what? Lamar Jackson's going to have a heck of a year. They probably went out and had. They probably have stacks of Darnold.
Right.
They have stack. They basically went out and got all the rookie quarterbacks, and were like, one of them's gonna hit.
Once one of them performs, we unload.
Yeah, because there's no way they all were like, you know what, Lamar Jackson's gonna be it. Because nobody, if I didn't see that happening. If I would have saw that happening, Lamar Jackson, you could have got his stuff not dirt cheap, but relatively inexpensive late last year.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. Everybody values things of what they sell for. So people see this and they're like, okay, cool. The going rate's $400 now. Well, I'm not saying it's happening. There could be demand for Lamar Jackson, but I'm just telling you guys, I'm telling you guys to be wary. Wait a couple weeks. See if that holds true. And don't fall into a base hype. I mean, the silver prisms, which are only one per box in football, are going for like $800 to $1,000.
Yeah, buy those.
So those are the ones that you know there's very limited amounts of those. Now, I know Jack in the chat says the PSA 10 Mahomes are going for $1,000. I don't think Lamar is Mahomes at this point. And I think there's also a lot more of these on the market than there was the Mahomes here. So just don't jump in and kind of – this is a base card. They're not. There's thousands of them out there. There could be 20 or 30,000 of these out there. So don't,
base card,
so
bro.
So don't fall into this hype. So, but, yeah, just wanted to give that kind of a it would be very easy for a group of 10 people to, you know, basically bump up a card.
I mean, I have enough Mannions to manipulate the market if needed.
Should.
I mean, I'm just saying. I'm not going to do that because, I mean, he could take the Vikings to a Super Bowl, and you can't give up on the Mannion yet.
Right.
Got to hold on to him.
Should. Yeah, that's what
I might. I mean, if that's happening, I might. Allow one into the market at a time. I might be like, all right,
forever a hoarder.
I'm gonna let this one go. This one's okay for everybody.
One at a time.
One at a time.
Little sample.
I mean, Vikings are a good team.
They are.
Vikings are a good team, and you know,
they're gonna be the reason why the Rams don't make the playoffs is because of the Vikings.
Possibility. It's Sean Mannion.
Yeah, it is. It's funny. Yeah, it's ironic how that works out.
Maybe Mannion. We didn't even know this, but maybe Mannion was the glue.
Yeah. Now
maybe
he's gone.
Maybe he was the locker room guy.
Yeah.
Maybe he was, above the shoulders, like throwing in those plays to, like, maybe he was telling Goff what to do.
All he does is win.
Yeah.
He's a fluffer.
Well, I don't. He didn't. He won 1 year at Oregon State, and then Then Brandon Cooks went to the NFL, and then it was a struggle.
Right. Well, that does it for the show, guys. We got Flawless coming up. We've got lots of breaks on the site, mojobreak.com. Easy to navigate our site. You just go on to, if you're on a PC, the schedule's on the right side. Everything is done by a schedule, so you know what's coming up next. If you're on the mobile, you just scroll all the way down to the bottom. That's our schedule. It's done by Pacific time, and that is basically all those breaks are done live on YouTube. And we got a great community of collectors that'll, if you're new, that'll help you, kind of show you the ropes. And you don't even have to buy in a break. Just, you know, you're not doing something one night, you got nothing to watch, you're tired of scrolling through Netflix and not finding the right show. Just jump in the feed, talk cards with us, you know, talk cards with the collectors, and you don't have to buy anything to hang out and soak it all in and find out what works for you. You know what I mean? If you're not sure if you're going to get into basketball or football, watch some breaks, see what you like, find a product you like, and you know, that's the best place. So check out our YouTube channel and check out mojobreak.com, and don't go anywhere. We're going to be back live with Flawless. We got Playbook coming up. We got Flawless Basketball coming up, and we'll see you in a few.